Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our broadcast, and we are back from President's Day there. next week, I'll be at the NRB, so we won't be having any live shows for that week. Maybe that Thursday, I can get back in here. Usually, I'm pretty tired because I just knocked out 29 to 30 interviews. Don't know quite how many I'm doing this year. I think I'm doing 29 to 30. That's going to be the highest amount I've done at the NRB, I think. I think 27 is the most that I usually get. But we'll see. Have some good meetings. Going to be visiting with my sister in faith, Miss Terry Squires, and also and her husband Ted as well, to talk over some things of ministry. But also going to be visiting with my friends Michelle and Michael, and just talking about ministry, getting things going. And this year, I'm hoping not to get too swamped with the interviews. I normally go get 29 interviews, 30 interviews, because I need them for the station. But this new thing that we're doing, there's a lot of things that's happening that we're just trying to get used to doing again and trying to make them better. And one thing we're going to be introducing is our season is only going to be 13 shows every season. 13 shows on the second half, 13 shows on the first half. This is the second half of the season, being the springtime, so we're going to be coming up. We're going to have 13 mid-watch shows. They're going to go through the summer, and then we're going to have our shows from the fall all the way to Christmas, and those are the shows that we get from the ICRS. So basically, I'm doing 30 shows at the NRB, interviewing people, getting it together, but I'm really going to only use for the mid-watch. On the Midwatch 30-minute program, I'm only going to use 13 of those, but I'll use all of them. All of them I'll use on RevMedia TV platform on demand. So they'll be on demand on RevMedia TV. Everyone that we interview, a lot of people have really enjoyed it. You know, I really enjoyed last week. We had David Hope here on the show with us, and then we had Gail Winters on the show with us, and we had the publicist give us a holler and let us know that we sound like we're best friends, that we're old buddies just talking on the air. And that's what I hope to do. Every time I broadcast, every time I put together one of these shows, I hope to make it a friendly show as far as the guest that's coming on, the questions that I ask, the people that we discussions that we have. I pray that it constantly looks like a good friendship, because it's important. It's important to me that the people are getting this. It's important to me that the people are understanding that the things. We almost didn't have a show. We almost didn't have a show today. I had an email from our server providers for the way that we use this through Shoutcast and the way that we use this on our servers through Apple, that there was a migration that was happening and that they didn't know if they can get this done for us today. They're thinking the servers are going to be down for quite some time. So prayingly, you're getting this, and I'm going to probably have to do a quality check in just a second just to hear it and to understand it. And I could probably do that from my phone. It's the quickest way to make sure and just see how things are going and stuff. And I just had this one thing going here. I have to figure it out here. We got to make sure that our signal's coming through, so please excuse me for just a second as I check out the server and check out what we're doing. I'm going to play you just a quick little commercial, and I'll be right back in just a minute. Where are my commercials, people? We need to make sure we're coming through the air. And, no, that's not it. I'm about to play a video game on this BlackBerry. It's not the right button. There it is. All right, we're going to just play a couple of commercials real quick just to make sure that we're coming out on this right now. We'll be right back.
A decade ago, automobile crashes were the leading cause of death by injury in America. But in recent years, car accidents have been surpassed by a much more disturbing cause of death. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you what it is in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Here's some bad news we haven't seen since the Great Recession. Today, suicide takes more American lives than any other injury. Car accidents were the leading cause of death until 2009. That year, nearly 40,000 Americans committed suicide, making it the leading cause of injury-related death. While suicides increased 15% that decade, deaths from poisoning more than doubled. Researchers believe many of those prescription drug overdoses may be intentional, which would raise the suicide rate even higher. If you're feeling down, reach out for help. There are more resources available today than ever before. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Everything that Jesus inherited as the Son of God is also ours. The treasures of heaven have become open to us. And intimacy with God is the biggest treasure. We learned at the end of the last school through the book of Revelation, when John the Revelator came through the door that was open in heaven, he saw someone sitting on the throne. He saw Jesus at the right hand of God, but he saw himself. And he saw you and he saw me. Through the eyes of eternity, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are at the right hand of God in eternity. We are able to have an intimate relationship with our heavenly Father, where we can hear what he has to say and apply it into this little time that we have on earth to make a difference for the glory of God.
Equipping you to parent from a biblical worldview. Here is Trace Embry.
Good parents know that teens need boundaries, but what many parents don't know is that teens actually want them. You're probably thinking, not my teen. Well, to make sense of this, we first have to understand that, like St. Paul in Romans 7, adults and teens alike are constantly engaging a spirit-flesh war. No, our flesh doesn't want boundaries, but our flesh isn't the sum total of who we are. Our spiritual side craves boundaries. Our teens are no different, and when appropriate boundaries aren't given and enforced, it's analogous to driving cross-country with no traffic lights or speed limits. All security goes away. And when security goes away for a teen, so does his rational thinking in order to find it.
Trace Embry has worked with teens and families for over 20 years. If you'd like to host a License to Parent weekend at your church, contact Trace Embry when you go to licensedtoparent.org. Again, that's licensedtoparent.org.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. Before I was born again, my mind took me on a complex journey of self-deception that separated me from Jesus. Even now, as a born-again believer, it would do the same if I allowed it. However, I now have the ability to discern God's thoughts from my thoughts. I can take my ungodly thoughts captive and bring them into line with the mind of Christ. Very often we make excuses for our behavior and we argue our point to justify our deception. But revelation of the Word of God divides lies from the truth, and that revelation will demolish our argument. If we read and believe what God's Word says, our thinking will be renewed and we will rise up in victory. We will soar above the demolished rubble of self-focused nonsense that pretends to be the reason for our lack of active faith. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your mind. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're back. Just double checking. So if you hear a little bit of reverb there, I apologize. We actually are on the air, so that's good. Anytime your servers are being attacked, that's the word I was going to use. Your servers are being attacked. No, anytime you're doing this and you're just in a studio and you're talking, you're hoping the signal goes out. The engineers are giving thumbs up, everything sounding good. And we double checked on the actual website of Revelation Ministries to make sure, and we do have signal. I don't think we were affected with the change as much as we thought we were going to be, and we're back on the air very soon, my friends. In faith, again, I say in faith, we have purchased and are purchasing a platform for Rev Media Network. We are going to separate the radio and the TV. In fact, we're creating our own blog top type atmosphere and delivery system. You'll be able to broadcast live from Video DJ and start your own show and be your own radio host. Right now, the way we have it running, many times we are having to assist people every day on the radio. In fact, we assist people more on the radio than we do on the TV. Well, I guess it's about half, but there's more work to do on the radio, and it's just becoming more and more complicated. But this is going to be HD radio. We're going to have its own platform for you to sign up. It's going to be very inexpensive, like $25 a month or something. And you'll be able to run your show and pay for your show and have your archives there and broadcast straight to it. Have a 24/7 playlist. Not only that, again, the salesman in me. Not only that, and I got to double check this. I have to double check this. But you're going to be able to have Christian music play on your station. We're going to pay the ACM fees, and we're going to pay for them yearly. So that may go up to $30, depending on the first year. It's going to be subject to go up, because we're going to see what kind of revenue we pull in, and then if it's worth running the Christian music side of it on there as well. So I'm excited about that for two things. One, it separates the two, makes it a face for the TV and a face for the radio. And two, I can actually go after Blog Talk now. Before, I couldn't. Before, I would work myself to death to go after Blog Talk if I wanted to. And why do I want to go after Blog Talk? Because I want to create Christian DJs, Christian broadcasters, Christian entertainers of faith, just like I am. I'm an entertainer of faith on the radio, but really I'm a minister of the gospel through the radio. And, you know, despite the mission trips, despite the healing service, this, you know, the television program, I want to create an identity for that. So I may just do 1 to 2 days of radio, but I have a radio platform running with thousands in faith of people signed up to do this. So it's just another way to create a streaming network, but all focused on radio, because not everybody's going to want to do TV. There's a whole bunch of radio out there. In fact, I've had the idea for many years, looked at Shoutcast and seen everybody broadcasting on that, and it just dawned on me that you know, why don't I create my own platform? So right now you're hearing us through Shoutcast. I have to make the decision when that time does come. I do have to make that decision of a decision. Am I saying it right? Decision. I have to make the decision if we're going to move over or if we're going to stay. We're going to keep the Shoutcast ones running, because we're getting a lot of hits, especially on the talk show and the sermon channel. The sermon channel, we had almost, I don't know, it was almost like 90 hours of listening a day. 90 hours of listening. People are getting into the Word of God, and that's good. And then on the talk radio, we have 24 to 46 hours a day of listening average. And that is something that is powerful. People are tuning in. The music channel always has someone on there, always has someone listening. So through devices or other ways, they're finding the radio station. So I don't want to shut it off. Can we afford both? Well, I'm pretty sure in faith we can, but budget wise we may have to take the funds we're putting towards the Shoutcast Media and be able to bring it down to this, because I know for sure that we may not be able to stream to both through both platforms. I'd have to check and do some wiring and stuff, but we can't really stick with something if it's not producing. So we got to see if Shoutcast starts producing some more results and stats, and then also if it starts producing some giving and stuff, then we'll keep it running. But if it's not, then we have to go to the next platform that's gonna produce something. It's a decision, and it's good to have decisions, right? If you didn't have decisions, then what would you do? What would you do? You're just gonna be bored there. But God, whenever there is growth, whenever there is a go-getter, remember what Reinhard Bonnke said on the show just 2 weeks ago. He's, and I have to go in his German voice, I have to do it. Those that forever seek the will of God are run over by those that do the will of God. You get me? They're run over by those who do the will of God. I do the will of God. So I'm running over someone right now that's just praying to see what God wants them to do. Why am I running over them? Because I want to see the gospel preached, even to my own hurt. I will put it all out there, and I will say, God, I know you will bless. I know you will bless. And we have Miss Charlene McLaurin is going to be on the show with us in the next 8 to 10 minutes. We'll have her on the air with us. And Charlene McLaurin, it's a good old name, Charlene McLaurin. She has written one of the most popular and successful bestsellers for Whitaker in novels. So she's one of the bestsellers. We're going to have her here with us in just a bit. I interviewed her. Actually, I believe it was Orlando that I interviewed her and talked to her. And she was such a blessing. And I enjoyed her. I enjoyed her publicist as well. She was there at the same time. And we talked and talked on faith. We barely got through the interview without just preaching. And I'm sure it's going to be the same way today. I'm sure we're going to have the same thing happen today, that we're just going to excite the air. You know, that's what faith is. It's just exciting the air, letting people know what God is doing and the goodness of God and how God's making things happen in people's lives. And those stories will encourage you. Those stories will build you. Those stories will give you what you need in faith. So that's all it is. So we'll have Charlene in just a little bit. But these are some things we're doing in our beat this next week, like I said earlier. And then also, where'd my pen go? Okay, there it is. Also, we have the new platform going to be launched, hopefully, by this summer. We'll have the radio platform running, and maybe sooner than that. But we just got to believe God that He can do the big things that we need. The NRB is going to be in Tennessee, as usual. And I hopefully have some great interviews out there. I know I'm interviewing Miles Monroe, so that's one great one. Joan Hunter, that's another great one, and several others that we're going to be interviewing out there. So we have David Cirillo, possibly, and the owner of Spirit Network, or Spirit something, believe. I have his books and stuff, but I don't have them with me. And he's written a few books as well. And so he's the son of Morris Cirillo, so we're going to have some good interviews there. We're going to be able to do different things that hopefully we get to just shape the way we're going to do it. So I just want you to keep me in prayer. That's why I'm telling you all these things. The radio platform, the NRB, just keep those things in prayer. There's been so much attack, so much things that when you push hard and you push forward for the Lord, you're going to get some resistance. You're going to get things and you're going to step on the devil's toe. Praise God. But remember this. I remember the sister saying this the other day. He is beneath my feet, not on top of my feet. He's not holding me back. He is beneath my feet. He is under my foot. He is not holding me or stopping me. I'm stomping on him. And you got to remember that. And you got to be encouraged with it. There's going to be days that you don't even want. You don't even want to be there and do things that you have to do. You may have commitments and stuff, but depression sets in and things try to stop you from doing what the Lord wants you to do. But when you stand and you believe and you just put everything in His hand. You know, recently I had to really pray and just seek God on some things and just ask God, can He show me some direction? And I was being attacked and discouraged. You know, I just got back from doing some real estate business. And yes, I'm showing some real estate. My friend called me and said, David, you do still real estate? Do you still sell it? Do you still do it? And I'm like, well, it depends. What are you looking for? He goes, well, I'm looking for a house this size. And he goes, on this side of town, it's $650,000. I'm like, yes, I still do real estate. You gotta value your time. The same work I do on a $100,000 deal is the same work I'm going to do on a $650,000 deal. In fact, the one that's bigger is going to go through easier because they got credit, they have down payment, no big issues. And the ones that are lower are sometimes harder, which I've done those for many years, and I've been a blessing to those for many years. But now I stepped out of the mortgage business and I only do the real estate business, so I'm not as strong in that category anymore. But I used to be very strong in that category before the market changed and everything. And you just got to choose to see how God wants to use you. I laid it before the Lord, and the Lord said to just take those that I feel led to take, those that are friends and those that are family that I know of, that mainly friends really, that I can show them homes and stuff. So you just plan it out and stuff. I still do that. That's still some of my tent making. I haven't done anything in real estate in a couple of years, but when a deal comes like that, hey, yeah, why not? You know, that would be a big blessing to my income and my ministry. Of course, I'll do it. So you can't limit God how he's going to do things for you. You can't limit God how he's going to bless you. You just got to go forward. Now, of course, when you're out there doing something and you're getting positive, you're getting strong on things, you get attacked sometimes. And, you know, unfortunately, I was attacked on the way back home spiritually on some things, on some phone calls and emails that there's people out there that's going to just constantly be letting the devil use them to work. And without saying anything else on that, that night, you know, just a little troubled here and there. Left it alone, left it to the Lord. You know, I felt good in the morning when I woke up. And during the night, the Bible says that he will put his instructions in my heart when I sleep. He will, when I slumber. In Job, it says, when he slumbers, the Spirit of the Lord puts the instruction of the Lord on our heart. Overnight, God told me what I had to do, the answer that I had to have. And it was in my own voice that I heard it, not the Spirit of the Lord, but just my own voice. I told myself in my sleep, I got to do this. When I woke up, I felt completely released. And you know, today I feel completely charged and excited about doing God's work. I don't want to stay a day down. Oh, you may get an hour. You may get a few hours. You may even get half a day, maybe even a whole day. But devil, you will never stop me from loving God. You will never stop me from doing God's work. You will never stop me from helping people and being a blessing to people. Because see, God built us to become overcomers. The Bible says we're overcomers of this world. And that we are those that are able to do the will of God. One more thing that Reinhardt said that I just got to throw in because I feel led, is that Jesus said, I just want to recap what he said 2 weeks ago. He said, I am with you always. Jesus said, I am with you always. Not because you deserve it, not because you feel good, not because you did right, but I am with you always. He said that and changed his entire missions ministry. When he heard that, and he went to Africa, and again, like they said, that's all they wrote. That's all she wrote. Look at the back, and look at what happened. That is what I want you to get encouraged about. Yes, I'm always bringing you things. Yes, I'm always telling you of great things that God is doing in our ministry. I'm always testifying and telling you of things that the Lord is doing, but that's because I constantly push it forward because I know that he is with me always. But we all have to pay a price in faith. Through prayer, through persecution, whatever it is, we just go through it. The demonic activity that is active and trying to mess with you, mess with me, mess with anyone, can be rebuked and be cast into the sea. It can be thrown away from yards away. It can be thrown away. It can be pushed away. It can be gone in Jesus' name. You don't have to be down. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be beat up. You don't have to be defeated. You just have to love Jesus and believe. The Bible says if you believe, then all things are possible. Amen. That's my preaching for this first segment. We'll bring Charlene on in just a minute, and we'll do some more preaching. How about that? We'll do some more preaching. All right, we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Himself inspired his prophets to write and later gather together in the book that we now call the Bible, the infallible Word of God. If you don't believe, then start believing today. Start believing in the Bible. Taste and see that the Lord is good. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402, a fellowship of mere Christianity.
The humanism of the...
A California school is using cattle tracking technology to keep an eye on preschoolers, but privacy advocates warn the technology actually makes students more vulnerable to kidnapping. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you more in just a moment.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
A school in Richmond, California is embedding preschoolers' sweatshirts with tracking microchips known as RFID tags. But those chips emit radio signals that travel through walls, meaning others can track the kids too. secretly from a distance. A stalker with a reader device could park across the street and track children as they go to and from school, or even create duplicate chips that could suggest a child is still in school after being abducted. While RFID stalking is creepy, there's another serious danger, subjecting kids to total surveillance by authorities. If we're not careful, this generation will grow into adults who don't know what privacy is, or freedom either. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
There will come a time when you believe everything is finished, yet that will be the beginning.
I'm Perry LaHaye.
Jacob Kamal and Abdul were having amazing success sharing the Jesus film in Muslim North Africa. They showed the film in 90 Muslim villages, and the people loved it. But then a civil war broke out, and Jacob and Kamal were forced to leave because they weren't from North Africa. That left Abdul, a native to the region, all on his own. There was so much more to be done. How could Abdul do it on his own? He felt like giving up. It was then that Abdul realized something. Because he'd seen the film 90 times, he knew it word for word. Then an idea came. Turn the movie into a song. And he did. He went back to those 90 Muslim villages and taught the people the Jesus film song. Many came to Jesus and taught the song to others. 48 churches of Muslim background believers were planted. Jesus is working wonders in the Muslim world. Join him there. Cast yourself in at frontiersusa.org.
Psalm 122 verse 3 says, Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. I like this verse. It brings back memories of the time when I lived in the Juderia, the Jewish district of Cordoba in Spain. The streets were very narrow and the houses on the streets were closely compacted together. Principally, this was for two reasons. One was for a defense strategy dating back to medieval times, and the other was to block out the intense heat of the sun in the summertime. However, the main reason that I like this verse is because I like the word compacted. It means to press or join firmly together. Jerusalem is like a picture of the church. If we are solidly united together, we can reduce the heat of enemy attacks by being of one purpose and one accord. And with one heart, we prepare for the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Trace Embry gives you back your parenting license from the politically correct cultural thieves who took it from you.
Remember when you were a kid and a responsible adult neighbor could catch you doing something wrong, pick you up, escort you home, and give word to your parents that you'd been doing something inappropriate? That's one small example of an authoritative community, just an environment where everyone keeps one another and one another's kids accountable to a common moral center. Unfortunately, in 21st century America, authoritative communities really don't exist anymore. To give our kids a better chance at living lives congruent with biblical standards of morality, parents would do well to proactively cultivate this authoritative community model by being intentional about where they live, shop, play, go to school, and go to church. Giving other responsible adults a license to hold our kids accountable for their actions is a wise parental endeavor.
Trace Embry has worked with teens and families for over 20 years. Get your parenting license back at licensetoparent.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we have a very, very special guest, a lady that I met just a few years ago at ICRS in Orlando, Ms. Charlene McLaren. How are you doing, Charlene?
I'm doing just great. It's so good to talk to you again, David.
Hey, man, we had such a blessed time that day.
Yes, we did.
I remember that when you were talking and just God was just all over you. Well, really, God was all over that room. It was just amazing that summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then
praise God.
And it was just, I still remember it. I still remember the words that the Lord used you to speak over me as well. And I tell you what, it's been nonstop since that day. And I'm sure it's been happening the same way in your life, that God just continues to move and move and open doors. And tell everybody just a little bit about yourself, just so they can remember you as well.
Well, I am a retired school teacher. I have a couple of daughters who are married, and we have some grandchildren. We have five grandchildren, and life has been just a kind of a whirlwind for me in terms of my writing career. I retired from teaching in 2003, and since then I have published 14 books, and it's been an adventure. It's been a big surprise for me. I didn't know that, writing fiction was going to be in my future, but God knew, and He opened the doors for me, and it's just been an incredible journey, and I'm just praising Him.
Amen. Amen. Tell everybody about your faith, my sister. How did you know the Lord? And
well, you know, I was raised in a Christian family, like a lot of present-day Christians are, but I did not come to know Him personally until I was in my teenage years. And I just realized, you know, that I could not follow my parents into heaven on their apron strings, so to speak. I knew that it was a personal decision that I had to make on my own. And I did reach that point of deciding that I just wanted to follow Jesus. I just wanted to follow Christ on my own. I wanted it to be my faith, not my parents' faith. And so one day in when I was about 16, I just went right down the aisle of a church at a revival meeting, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and life, and my life has never been the same since. I've witnessed His miracles in my life, and I've witnessed answers to prayer, and He has been very real to me throughout the years. And I'm 65 years old now, and I can attest to the fact that God is real, and God does answer prayer, and God is always with us. No matter what our circumstances, I have felt His presence with me at all these different stages and phases of life as I've gone through life, and He's been faithful to me.
Amen. So how did you get into writing books?
Well, you know, I have a vivid imagination. I think there are a few things that you need in order to become a fiction writer, and probably one is a vivid imagination. And another, the second thing I would say is that you have to be passionate about it, because it is something that requires a lot of time and energy and input. And three, I think that, you know, it's a gift from God, and if you have those three elements, God can use you, and you will, you know, you can become a fiction writer. But a vivid imagination is where I began, and I've always loved to be a storyteller, and I remember as a kid, you know, people would say, tell us a story, Char, you know, around a campfire or something like that. But in terms of writing itself, I did not really realize I had a gift for writing until the year 2000, and that is when God really dumped this gift into my lap. And I had actually gone through an entire year of clinical depression. And coming out of that, I just pled with the Father to give me a passion for my life. I knew that I was just a couple of years away from retiring. And I'm one of these people that I need to stay busy, and I need to have a purpose, and I need to have a plan. And this depression really came. It came as a result of my younger daughter leaving home and going to college, and all of a sudden it sort of felt like my rug of purpose had been pulled out from under me. And this whole business of the empty nest syndrome affects different people in different ways, but it affected me in such a way that it did bring about a depression. And there was a whole lot more involved in it, but I think maybe that might have been the root of my problem. But at any rate, you know, with medication and with lots of biblical sound counseling and with God as my healer, I came through that experience, and it was just something that I would not trade for anything. It taught me life experience. It taught me how to trust God in a whole different manner and on a whole different level. And when I came through that year, I just said, God, I need you, first of all, to just lead me and direct me in the way that you want me to go after I retire. And I want whatever I do to glorify and honor you. And this was my prayer. This was just my heart's desire to do something that would be worthwhile and would just bring glory to God. And it wasn't too long after I prayed that, and it was a prayer of surrender, really. I just gave it to God, and I just surrendered my all to Him. And it wasn't long after that that I had a dream that I thought was the strangest dream. I dreamt that I had written a novel. And I thought, well, that was an odd dream. That was an odd dream. I have no idea why I dreamt that. But it was a very real dream. But I just laid it aside because I just thought it was odd and just one of those things. And so it wasn't long. I'd say a couple nights maybe went by, and I had that same dream that I had written a novel. And again, I thought, how odd that I would dream something like that. Twice, you know, almost identical dream. And I just kind of chalked it up to the fact that I had been reading a lot of fiction novels, and I had been reading a lot, and it had kind of been like a fire in me that I just had to have this to-be read list, this pile of books. I had to have this pile of books ready for me because I was reading like a house of fire. And so I just continued, reading, and I thought, well, that's probably why I had that dream, you know, because I've been reading so much. And then I think I might have had that dream three or four more times before I sort of finally took notice of it and started to think that maybe God was speaking to me. And so I didn't, you know, I just thought, well, I'll sit down and I'll just see if I can write beyond page one. I probably can't, but let me just see what happens. So I did have a story kind of brewing in my head, and I thought, well, I'll just kind of go with that story and see what happens. And so I did. And I got beyond page one, and I got beyond page two, and I got beyond page three, and I just could not stop writing. And the ideas just started flying from my brain down my arm and onto the keyboard, and it was just really amazing. Now, I didn't immediately think, oh, this is God answering my prayer. You know, that was far from my mind. I just thought, oh, I found something that I really enjoy doing. This is fun. And that's kind of the way I viewed it, and I viewed it that way for a couple of years, really. But I did write one manuscript after another, and that was in the summer of 2000 when I started. But it wasn't until the year of 2006 that I signed my first contract with Whitaker House, and that was after a lot of prayer, a lot of homework, a lot of effort, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and also a lot of rejection letters from various publishing houses. So, you know, it's not something that happens overnight. God answers prayer, but often His prayers take a little bit of time before they actually come to fruition, His answers. So that was kind of what happened, you know. But it did start with a dream. And so in my office, I do have a word written out that's it stands up. It's one of those wooden signs, and it stands up on my windowsill, and it just says dream. And when I look at it, it reminds me that many things can start with a dream, and we have to just take hold of it. And sometimes God speaks to us in different ways.
Amen.
And for me, He spoke to me in a dream.
Amen.
And that's kind of how it started. And you asked how it started. So I gave you the long version.
Hey, people want to hear that. People want to understand that, because I was just sharing that, Charlene. I was just sharing about dreams before you came on the air with us.
Really?
Yeah, and I didn't get to read the scripture, but here's the scripture, Job 33:15. In a dream, mm-hmm. in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumbers upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction.
Oh, wow.
As Job,
isn't that interesting that you read that just before we started to
And I was sharing to people, you know, when God will talk to you, but you know, sometimes your spirit, you know, needs to be talked to when you get your flesh down and you're sleeping.
Absolutely.
and you're resting and he's able to talk. So I was using that as the base and something God revealed to me the other day and once I did what I had in my dream, the peace of God was on me when I woke up in the morning. Because I knew what I had to do.
Yes.
I was asking for God for something. It's amazing when God does that, you just know that there's no mm-hmm. doubt about it. You just go after mm-hmm. your dream. It's amazing. You knocked out 2 manuals in the summer. That's a sure.
That's absolutely right.
And you're actually the Whitaker's best-selling fiction author. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, tell us about Wabash, Indiana. You just went back that way. Tell us what's the history of that for you, and how does that tie into what you're doing?
Well, Wabash, Indiana is actually the series. I'm writing another series right now, but Wabash, Indiana was a series that I set my series River of Hope was set in the town of Wabash, Indiana. And my husband and I drove through that town one day. I was on a business trip with him, and I just had this feeling come over me when we went through this little town, and it had a river that went right through the town, and you know, we were going over the bridge, and I said, "What a lovely town. It's so quaint and it looks so historical." And I said, "Well, what is this town?" I kind of sat up, you know, and I started paying attention, and he said, "This is Wabash, Indiana." And there was just something about it, and I just said, "Stop, I just want to just take this little town in." And so, you know, he stopped, and we looked around, and then we kind of drove through it a little bit, and I just fell in love with that town. And it has so many tree-lined streets and historical buildings and old houses and so forth, and I just thought, man, I just might write a series about this town. I just sort of feel it in my spirit, you know, that maybe God is kind of knocking on my door here and telling me that, you know, this is a town that I want you to base a series on. So I did, and I based my series in a 1920s setting, and most of my historical series are older than that. They are based in the 1800s or very early 1910s. But this was the 1920s, and so I guess you could call it the Roaring Twenties. And, every story, when I write a series, every one of my books are what you'd call standalone books. They have their own plot, and they're not based upon each other, so you can sort of read them in different order. You don't have to read them, you know, one right after the other. But it kind of helps if you do, because once in a while I'll refer back to a character that was mentioned in a previous book, and that kind of gives my readers an idea of what that character is doing now, what they're up to. So it does kind of help to read them in order, but I did want to stress that all of my books that I write in my series are all standalone novels. They don't depend on the book before. And they have fresh characters and so forth. So, but Wabash was a special town to me because we drove through it and something just clicked with me when we drove through it. And sometimes that sort of experience just kind of happens.
I mean, that's how God talks to you, and that's how you get your motivation and your creativity going. And you know, like I could look at things and know this would be a good thing for a shot or a show or something. And it's similar to what you see. This is a good story. I can write this book, you know. And, you know, it's like
you kind of feel an inspiration.
Yeah, there's something that just talks. And it's the Spirit just talking to you and opening things.
It is.
And it's also a gift that God gives you, an eye or an ear to see and to hear.
Yes.
And so tell us about Heart of Mercy.
Well, Heart of Mercy is number one in my series called Tennessee Dreams, and it is set in 1890. Let me look it up real quick. You know,
1880.
Here's the thing that happens. You write a book, and then you put it aside, and you write the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And all of a sudden, some of these characters get a little bit fleeting on you. But this book was written, the setting is 1890.
Okay.
And the town is called Paris, Tennessee. And I did a book signing in the little town of Paris, Tennessee, a few years back. And my books are quite popular in a little bookstore called Promised Land Bookstore.
Okay.
In Paris, and they've sold, oh my goodness, something like 1,000. It's just a small bookstore in a small town, but for some reason, my books are so popular in their little store, and they have sold something like 1,000 copies of all of my books.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know, for one little town and one little bookstore. But for some reason,
are you paying homage to him now, but right in Paris, Tennessee?
Yeah. No, but when I did this book signing at their little town, my sister-in-law went with me, and
okay.
We said, "What a lovely little town!" And again, you know, it was the spirit just kind of speaking to me and saying, "You know, I want you to write a story. I want you to base a series on this little town." And I didn't do it right away. I had another series going, and it took a little while with a little bit of research and so forth that went into it. But then I finally, it came time for me to write another series, and I just prayed about it, and I just really felt impelled to base my series on this little town of Paris, Tennessee. So then three stories came to mind. And I talked to Whitaker House about it, and they thought it sounded good, and off we went. And so the first book has already been published, and it is called Heart of Mercy. And the main character's name is Mercy.
Mm.
And if you would like me to just kind of read to you the back cover.
Sure, go ahead.
I could do that. Okay, then that kind of gives you an idea of what it's about. Mercy Evans has known a great deal of heartache and hardship in her 26 years. She lost her mother at a young age and was only 16 when her father was killed in 1880 in a brawl sparked by a family feud spanning several generations. Yet Mercy never doubts the presence and the provision of her Heavenly Father. When a house fire claims the lives of her best friends, leaving their two young sons as orphans, Mercy offers to be their guardian. It seems simple enough until the judge mandates that the boys must be placed with a married couple. Now, Samuel Connors is a man adrift. Despite the success of the blacksmith business that he inherited from his father, he senses a void unaffected by material rewards. All he knows is that he's ready to move out from under his manipulative mother's roof. When the lovely Mercy Evans advertises for a husband, he finds himself strangely inclined to respond. But what would she want with the man whose father is now serving a life sentence for the murder of hers? Mercy is determined to do whatever it takes to win custody of the Watson boys. But marry a mortal enemy of the Evans family? God alone can give her the heart to go through with it. So there is a family feud going on that spans generations. And here is a young woman and a young man who are both from the two opposing families, and when they agree to marry, it becomes a very big, the feud just blows up. And then Mercy, she lives out her name over and over throughout the story. And she is an example of someone who does live her name. And so I, without giving away any of the story itself, you know, they do, I will say that they do marry, but the trials that they encounter along the way are very challenging, and yet God is at control. He is at the helm of the whole matter. And
amen. So where can they get this book?
Well, my books are all available in book form or in e-format, and they can go to Amazon.com. They can go to ChristianBook.com. They can go into Barnes & Noble and find my books. Or if they can't find a specific book on the shelf, they can always order it through a clerk. And also any Christian bookstores. Most Christian bookstores carry my books. Now, I will say that my books, you know, as is true with all Christian authors, books are placed kind of randomly in various bookstores across the country. So it's just kind of iffy as to whether or not you'll really find what you're looking for. But you can always order online or order with a store clerk.
Absolutely. Yeah, don't be afraid to go up to the clerk and say, I want my
right.
Charlene McLaren fixed and I want it now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Miss Charlene.
And especially in this day of electronic reading,
yeah.
It does seem like paper books are becoming fewer, and I don't like that one little bit. But I also know that times are changing and we have to kind of keep up with the times. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My son reads, oh my gosh, dozens of books, and he prefers the hard copy, you know, soft traditional paperback. He,
sure.
he doesn't like reading it on the iPad or the ebook. He just likes
yeah.
likes to feel the book
well,
in his hand.
Well, I like the feel of a real book myself, but my husband, he prefers to read on his iPad.
Oh, really?
He is a voracious reader. He reads continuously.
Oh, wow.
He has
well,
books
I like to make notes and highlight. I'm kind of weird.
If he really wants to study a specific thing, he'll very often buy the actual paper book. He might read it on electronic format, but then go and buy the paper book so that he can underline and highlight and write in the margins and things like that.
Awesome. Give him your website, darlings.
My website is Charlene McLaren, and that's with an S, by the way, and McLaren is M-A-C-L-A-R-E-N, and so it's just www.charlenemclaren.com.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show, darlings. We really.
Oh, you are so welcome. I'm so glad you asked me.
It went by so quick.
The good ones always do.
The good ones always do. The other ones, I have to be making up questions, writing things, saying, what am I going to ask next? No.
Oh.
I'm playing. You're a blessing, and we enjoyed you. And
well, thank you. You're a blessing, too.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being on the air with us. God bless.
Oh, you bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Amen. That's Miss Charlene McLaren, and I really appreciate her being on the air because she really just gives you a whole insight of different insight on writing and how God led her to put these things together. It's good to hear how they got started. I mean, we love hearing about the books, but I like also hearing about who they are and where they got started and what inspired them. Remember, you can get Charlene McLaren's books in her new book, Heart of Mercy. You can get this at any bookstore. You can visit charlenemclaren.com as well. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold, you can get this in printed books and ebooks. And another great Whitaker author here on Rev Media Network. God bless you. And want to thank her for being on the air with us. You can write us at Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that's P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Our 800 number is 888-642-4767. The prayer lines extension 7. if you need prayer. We're trying to get that manned up. So if you want to volunteer to help pray for people and you can interview with me over the phone and I can talk to your pastor, then give me an email at david@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you, friends. We'll talk to you next time on the Midwatch. We're going to have some more great guests. Again, remember, we will not be broadcasting a live show. You'll hear some great shows. I probably shouldn't even tell you that because you're going to listen anyway. It doesn't matter who we have on there. You're going to listen, and I know you will. God bless you. Thank you for being faithful, and thank you for joining us on the Midwatch. Thanks again, Charlene McLaren, for being a guest on our show.
With Trace Embry, insight for today's culture.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.